Help us to be stronger in you, closer to you today. Help us to make the right commitments, God, to focus on the right things. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have a plan. Help us to follow it. Help us to walk in your ways. Help us to show the world the light that you've put inside of us, that hope of glory, that supernatural. Lord Jesus, we thank you for it. We thank you for the presence, God. May it touch us and adjust us and change us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, be seated. Let's get marching. This morning we're going to start in Joshua. We're going to talk about love or fear. The reason why that matters is, if you remember, I was talking about fight the right things. And, I got amens and people were all, let's fight the right fight. But one of the problems we have is, and I mentioned this the other week, is sometimes you find yourself fighting David instead of fighting Goliath. You fight the wrong target. This is an issue. Know what things to fight. And then you say that to a Christian, they go, amen, yeah, I don't want to be fighting no David. I want to fight Goliath. Let's fight the actual enemy. And then you ask them what the actual enemy is, and they blank on it. So, how are you going to fight Goliath if really all you know is you do want to fight the Goliath, you don't want to fight the David. You want to fight the enemy, but how do you recognize what the enemy is?
Yeah, come on.
How do you see him coming? How do you know what's enemy and what's not? Sometimes your kid looks like the enemy. Sometimes your friend looks like the enemy. Sometimes your parent looks like the enemy. Sometimes your job looks like the enemy. Sometimes your finances look like the enemy. What's the enemy? What's the enemy and what looks like an enemy? David looked like an enemy, but he wasn't one. He looked like one because he came and he shook up their world. Jesus looked like an enemy to all those people that were the religious crowd when he came, because he came to shake up their world, to clean house, to bring the new way, to cover them, to change things for them, to save them. But they didn't like that. You ever done something that was for the sake of your kids that they didn't like? It was for their sake, but they didn't like it. Tell your kid to go have a shower or take a bath. Every kid's like, I just took one last month. Oh my gosh, I don't want to have to do that. You have to learn what things to actually fight. If you want to get some idea, fight against hurt. Mm. Fight against bitterness.
Come on.
Fight against unbelief.
Yes.
Fight against fear.
Come on.
Fight it.
Come on.
If you want some ideas of things you actually fight against, you can't physically fight against, I stubbed my toe, I'm going to fight that. You can't fight against the physical thing. But the spiritual things that are very obviously from the enemy's team, fight against those things.
Yes.
Fight against speculation. Foolish thought.
Yes.
You sat there and you kept thinking about the thing that made you mad. You kept thinking about the thing that made you sad. You kept thinking about the thing.
Come on.
This is what you fight. You don't.
Yes.
What? How do you think you fight that? You don't put up your hands. You don't. Let's get in a fist fight about this thing. You don't pull a gun out and start shooting the air and going, I'm going to stop this. You stop thinking about. You have to fight the urge and desire to think about the thing that's bringing you down. To think about the thing that's worrying you. To think about the thing that's bringing fear to you. To think. You see what I'm saying? Those are the things. These are your giants.
Yes.
And to some of us, your giant grabs your emotions, it shakes you up, and it makes you all afraid, or it makes you all worried, or it makes you all tormented. And you keep thinking about the thing that's bothering you.
Come on.
What am I worried about that's going to happen? Well, I'm worried this could happen. I'm worried that could happen. This is important because I truly, truly believe everything in your life, everything you experience will be absolutely filtered through either love or fear, as they're the two things that function. God is love, and he functions with love, and love is the thing that's going to cover all. Love is the thing, the Bible says, perfect love casts out all fear. Love is the powerhouse of God, and fear is the workhorse of the enemy. Everything he does works with fear. Everything he does involves fear. Fear has been there ever since the moment that the devil got ejected from heaven and started being afraid, and all he can do, imagine when you hit somebody in the forehead, and maybe many of you haven't done this, but I have. You hit somebody hard enough that when you hit them, they start muttering. The same kind of mumble jumble. You can't even make heads or tails of what they're saying. It's like they're talking to themselves because they're not fully there anymore. When you hit somebody like that, when somebody's coming out of that, haze, when they're just, when somebody's not all there, that's the way the devil is. He's been hit in the forehead so hard, he can't help but he's saying the same stuff, just different ways. Over thousands of years, he just keeps saying the same stuff because it's all he can think about. He is consumed with the things he is afraid of. He is consumed with the things that worry and bother and depress and hurt him. He's consumed with what he did. He can't get his focus off of it. It's all he can talk about. It's all he can do. It's all he can think about because his whole world is filtered through that fear. Your world is going to be filtered through either love or through fear. And that is how you will experience, how you will determine a situation. Oh, I love Mickey Mouse. So Miguel's happy when he goes and sees Mickey Mouse because his Mickey Mouse experience will be filtered through love. So he will see it in a better light than someone who comes there and you're like, I'm afraid of germs. I'm afraid of those rides. I'm afraid of the dressed up characters. When your world is filtered through a fear, it turns a different light on the whole picture that person sees bright and this person sees dark. How your world is filtered will absolutely affect how you live in that world.
Come on.
It's going to affect the way you see the world that's around you. Love, when you function in love, and remember, love is not the emotion. This is not the lovey-dovey, huggy-huggy. This is the act. Love gives of itself. Love cares about things. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. If you remember, this is the way love is. I'm not worried about our marriage. I have a different whole system called love about our marriage.
Yeah.
So I can bear anything. I can hope through anything. The high water comes, I can keep hoping. Why? Because I have love. I don't have fear. There's a difference when I'm afraid this is going to fail.
Yeah.
I'm afraid this is going to miss. I'm afraid this is going to hurt me. I'm afraid this is, and when you start functioning in fear, just the idea of fear and doubt surrounding you all about, who cares? That's a whole different part than the enemy being near. That's fear and doubt are all close to you. They're the things that are around you, and they're filtering the whole world to you. This is why the camp with David, everybody was hiding in holes because they had gotten fear for the enemy instead of love about their God, love about their plan, love about their call, love about their direction and orders. They didn't have love functioning in them. They didn't have the peace that comes with love. They lost their peace and they had instead replaced it with fear. And fear filtered their whole world. Fear helped them only see a giant.
Come on.
Do you see? And it took, the Bible says it, and we're going to go read it real quick. In Joshua 1, in verse 9, it says this. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? They had lost their courage. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, we've heard this. We have read this probably. You know God has not given you a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. We know that God has given you not that spirit that tries to bring you and shake you and torment you at night and mess with your head. That's not the way God is. But here's what I'm saying. When you function in love, you are in agreement with God and God's plan. But what you don't think about is when you function in fear and worry, you are agreeing with the devil. Those are the moments of your life that you're agreeing with the devil. Yeah, devil, that's right. That's the way my life's going. Yeah, devil, that's right. That's what's going to happen to my finances. Yeah, devil. When you're in fear, when your thoughts are in fear, when you are afraid, when you are worried, when you are concerned, when you are sitting there tormented about what may happen, and you are sitting there following that thought train all the way down into that spirit of fear, you're in agreement with the enemy. You're saying, yeah, devil, you're on his team. And you know what's bad about that? It isn't just the fact that, yeah, you're agreeing with the devil. It's that if you ever had somebody in an argument, when you sit up and you say something that agrees with you, and yeah, that's right, it makes you feel bigger. You don't want to make the devil feel bigger. You don't want to encourage the devil. You don't want to support the devil. That's what it's like. It's saying, hey, I'm representing that team too. You don't want to make the devil's team seem bigger because you're all of a sudden on it. When you're a Christian and you don't even think you can do it, but you don't understand the devil's like a shark in the water, when you start functioning in the emotions of fear, when you start functioning in the acts of fear, it attracts the spirit of fear. Just like the devil's plan is for you, if you start functioning in those little acts of it and you start letting the thoughts go on and you chase those thoughts on, you will slowly attract the spirit of fear, and the spirit of fear will make you afraid of things that don't even make sense to you. They will take you over. Now, the Bible also says in 1 John 4:18, like I said, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. That word perfect, if you've heard me say this before, Dr. Hicks first told me this, but perfect is to adjust and repair. To adjust and repair. You have not been made perfect because you haven't started to adjust and repair. You see, fear has to live in the land where you're worried about what will happen to you, about punishments, about torments, about what bad may come. Love is when you say, I don't care what happens to me. Let me give of myself for you because I will be okay. Yeah. This is where people get, you know, we had this conversation, this was over a week ago when Ernesto, when it was you and me and we were over at the mall and she says to me, how can I have guarantee or what do I have to prove and how do I know that he won't turn into a bad guy, that he won't turn into an enemy, that he, and I said, you don't have that guarantee because no one can guarantee you that. The only guarantee you have is that God will take care of you and you will be okay. Yeah. So you can trust because God will watch you. He will get your back and he will take care of you if you seek him first and trust him. Why is that important? Because then you're not afraid anymore. What will this person do? Well, I let them walk all over me. They took my shirt right off my back. Well, the Bible says, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah. How are you worried about them walking all over you if God will surely take care of you? Well, why are you afraid then? Well, I'll give you why you're afraid. Because you're not willing to repent, adjust, and repair, so you carry your sins on your back. So now you're your Savior, and you know it, and you're a bad Savior, and you're not capable of saving yourself, so you're going to make all the provisions you can to protect yourself, but it will not succeed. You already know it won't succeed, and just like the devil, you'll become obsessed with that fear and worry because now you're boss. Why? Because you didn't get perfected in love. You did not adjust and repair. You're not repenting and changing. You're not repenting and fixing. You're not saying, I'm done with this sin. You want to hold on to a little bit of it. So just like Adam and Eve in the garden, when did they hide from God? When did they go cower and get behind the bush? That's right, when they had sin on them and when they were not clean because they were not perfected in love anymore, because they did not adjust, repair, repent, and fix it anymore. They went and hid because sin was on them. It is the nature of sin to cause you to hide and to be afraid. It is the nature of sin to cause you to shake because what will happen to me? What great punishment is coming to me? What, you ever seen a kid that stole something and you went to find him and where did they go? They went and hid in their room. They went and hid outside. Well, why are they hiding? Because they were afraid of what punishment will come to them. But if you believe what God said in his word, that he has forgiven you, that his forgiveness is functioning alive in you, then you can repent very easily, be free from the sin and the filth that you've been touching, and no more will you be afraid of what may happen to you all the way to death. Like I said, if you are not prepared to die, you will not be prepared to live. Most of you aren't even partially prepared for it. You have no idea what you will do, what will happen. You're still worried about, will I make heaven? What really happens when I die? You've got to cover that thing already under the blood. You've got to get under that perfect love under the repentance, or you are in trouble if you do not, because you're going to be a plaything for the enemy. You know, many of you believe that you have a call in your life, and I believe you have a call in your life. I believe we all do to some respect regardless. Some of us are going to reach millions, and some of us are going to reach a few around us in our family. They're all important things to do. But we all have some kind of a call. What people don't like to think about is the bigger your call, the bigger your destiny, the bigger the plan of God, the bigger your giant will be. He's not going to be a small or a medium size. It'll seem like it's this giant world of a giant. It'll seem like it's an all-encompassing giant. It'll be multiple giants in your life. You won't take down one Goliath. You'll take down multiple Goliaths in your life. And if you don't understand how to fight, if you don't know which direction the enemy's in, if you don't know what it is you're supposed to face and what it is you're supposed to turn your back to, you will constantly be in fear because you're going to get hit from the wrong side all the time and you'll have trained yourself to be afraid all the time. Now let's go to Isaiah 54. This is important to me because why? Why is the devil so obsessed with this fear thing? Why does he function so strongly in this fear thing? Why does he want us to be afraid so much? It says, in righteousness, in verse 14, in righteousness you shall be established. If you ever wanted to know how can I establish my house, how can I establish my finances, how can I establish myself, in righteousness, that's how, by doing the things that are right before God. You shall be far from oppression. Say far from oppression.
Far from oppression.
For you, or because you, shall not fear. The reason the devil wants to get you into fear is because it is the easiest way for him to oppress you. Yeah. It is the easiest way for him to depress you. If you were a button, it's the easiest way for him to push you down, and then he wants to hold you down. And the only way he can get in there is by fear, because fear acts as the antithesis of faith. In other words, you will believe things into your life. The Bible says what you fear will come upon you. You will believe things into your life that you don't want for your life. You don't agree the word says they're for my life. You don't believe them for your life, but you will believe them in by your fear. By the very act of doubt and worry, you will believe them in. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to be an outcast. Well, the more you think that way, the more an outcast you're going to be, because you're fearing that thing in, and the devil knows it, and he knows that he can depress and he can oppress and he can push you down and he can hold you down. When you're oppressed, it means you are tormented. Do you understand? It's overpressed. You're not up, you are down. Yeah. Now, how does a button come back up that's been pushed down? Does anybody have a clue? You've ever pulled apart something? I know Judah does, because he's pulled apart enough things to know what's behind a button. A little spring is down there, not rubbing the button, not loving the button with a hug, not loving the button with an emotion, pushing on that button back up.
Come on.
That is what love does, because the Bible says perfect love cast out all fear. Let me translate that for you so this is easier. If you will repent and turn from your wicked ways, fear will surely leave you. It will be cast out of your life. But if you will not repent, if you will not change your ways, if you want to stay the same old way you've been, then fear will always be there like a little tail on your behind, and it will follow you. And like I said, when you do the acts of fear, you attract the spirit of fear. And the spirit of fear is beyond your control. You cannot stop it. You will sit there worried at night. You will sit there worried in the morning. You'll sit there concerned about what may, and you will sit there giving into it, thinking, well, I got to figure out a way. I got to figure out a plan. All you got to figure out is look at the right things, not the wrong things. All you got to figure out is how to find the answers, not the problems. I told someone this the other night. They said, it's so nice of you to be able to take and listen, and we have all these issues that are on our hearts. So nice that you're willing to open up your time and listen to us and let us talk to you and give me an answer. And I said, listen, the reason I'm willing to do this is not because I'm taking your burden on. I'm not taking your burden on. I'm helping you cast it down. That's why it doesn't bother me, because I carry none of it with me when I talk with you. You talk to me, you tell me your problem, and it washes right off of me, because I'm not afraid of what may happen. I'm not carrying your burden for you. I'm helping teach you. Throw it on the ground. Stop paying attention to it. Well, you don't understand all the problems in my life. You don't understand how bad my finances are. You don't understand how bad my marriage is. You don't understand how bad my relationship is. You don't understand how bad my job is. I don't understand is always the problem, that we don't get it because we haven't spent hour on hour obsessing about the fear. We haven't spent hour on hour like you have, sitting there thinking about the fear, trying to figure out a way around the fear by yourself, because little g you wants to be big g God in your life, and you want to be the one in control, yet you can't affect self-savior, and you know it, so you are afraid because you are your own God, because you are unwilling to repent or be made perfect in love and let fear leave you. And because of that, you will play with the toy of fear, the work toy of the enemy, and all the while being agreeing with the devil. And in the great argument of all time, where the devil is constantly trying to counter God, and God doesn't care about the devil. He's not sitting there worried about the devil. He's not thinking about, what do I do with the devil in the end? What do I do with all those demons on the earth? What do I do about without my praise team in the middle of heaven? God isn't worried and sitting there thinking about fear the way we do, because he's not in agreement with the devil.
Right.
He has a different plan.
Come on.
The devil's the one that wants you to agree with him by the act of fear and saying, yeah, devil, I'm on your side. That's right. That is it's just the way it is. We got to call it what it is. That's fear. Guys, this is the devil's plan. Don't follow the devil's plan. Follow God's plan. God's plan says, what are you worried about, buddy? What are you so concerned about, ma'am? What are you so obsessed about this thing? Do you not know? Do you not know? I have prepared a place for you. I have prepared a way for you out of this. I said, yes, there are going to be trials and tribulations, but I'll deliver you. I've always delivered my people. Don't you want to be one of my people? Because every everyone will have a trial and tribulation, but I will deliver my people. Are you not going to be my people? Or are you going to sit over on the devil's team going, look how bad it is. There really is a giant here. Don't you see the giant? There really is a giant, guys. And you're thinking about it at night. He isn't talking. Goliath isn't sitting here with a hoarse voice because he's talking all night long. He just has little moments and he talks and a little moment and he talks. And then you think about it for the next 4 or 5 hours. And you think about it for the next day. The devil doesn't even need to tie a demon up because you're going to sit there dwelling and holding that little thing and cherish it and sit there thinking about the devil's plan. Let me put my head on it for a second. But that seems like something you might want to fight against. And how will you fight against your own thoughts unless you have something else to interject and say in your own head, no, I'm done with this. To think about this.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. We learned this when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. It takes a man of faith to stop the storm that robs your peace.
Come on.
Do you hear what I'm saying? Because he said, you have little faith. How do you have none?
Come on.
How do you have none? Because it takes a man of faith to get that peace back, to get that fear to go. Do you hear what I'm saying? Sometimes it takes two people. He sent them out by two. You ever wonder why animals came in by two? Well, I figured it was to reproduce. Well, it was also to help them keep the peace. Because when they're out by twos, it helps them keep peaceful. Oh, I'm not the only lion on this boat. I'm not alone. You see, the loner always seeks their own desire, and they're going to absolutely fall into fear easier unless you are with somebody. It is so much easier to hold the peace when you are paired up with somebody than it is when you are by yourself. Jesus knew this, so he sent the disciples out two by two. When you sit there by yourself in your room, I promise you, that is when you're going to battle fear and doubt the most. When you sit there by yourself in your car and you're on your own and you're on your own and you're on your own and a little pain comes and a little hurt comes and a little thought comes and a little call comes and a little worry comes, I promise you, that is the hardest you will ever have to fight to keep your peace, because without a couple, without a pair, if you don't have somebody you fight alongside of, not against, you will have a harder time holding your peace. And the disciples found this out as well. But I'm telling you, you may be in a situation where you're given into the storm, you're worried. And what were they worried about? That's right, just some wind. But here's the cool part. When a man of faith came to the situation, and Jesus came up and he stepped up to bat and he started to say to the storm, this is the part sometimes many of us forget this. He spoke and said, peace be still. And what we don't think about is everything became still. The fish became still and peaceful. The disciples became still and peaceful. The storm became still and peaceful. All of creation obeys the powerhouse word of God. And God's put that in our mouth. We're part of creation. We are not separate from. We were created. Go read Genesis. We're part of creation. All of it obeyed the word of God. When he said peace, I think everybody on the lake got peaceful. All the fishermen on the edges got peaceful. The birds got peaceful and went and sat down on a tree. I think everything became peaceful because everything obeys the word of the Lord. And when you're a man of faith or a woman of faith and you speak out of your mouth the word of God, that word of God, all of creation must obey. So when you sit there worried, what will so-and-so do to me? What will the finances do to me? What will the relationship do to me? You're doubting already. You're in fear already and you don't understand that they will have to obey what the word of God says, like it or not. You know, I said this the other week. I said, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how afraid you are or what may happen. It doesn't matter how bad that person may treat you. What really matters is God will take you through it, stand you up, dust you off, and make you better than you were before. He'll keep you. He'll protect you. He'll save you. That's the whole idea, guys. You're not making heaven if you don't believe he's a savior. This is a major, major area. If you truly trusted God, not man, not friendship.
Come on.
You know, Alex, if all you do is trust Rebecca, you broke my trust, Rebecca. Oh, you broke my trust. Now I don't even know what I'm going to do with you. If your trust is in her, surely you will be disappointed and surely it will fail.
Yep. Yep.
Why? Because she's a terrible woman? No, because all humankind will fail. Men and women alike will fail you. And if you want to sit there worried about when will she fail me again, when will she hurt me again, when will she fall short again, you'll ruin your marriage. You'll ruin it. Because you'll be focused on the wrong thing, trusting in the wrong thing. Only trusting in God will give you perfect love. Only repenting yourself and being willing to adjust and repair, like Dr. Hicks taught me all those years ago, willing to say, I repent, God, I won't do this again, let me fix what I did and let me change my way, That right there is the perfect in love. And when you're a person that does that, you won't be afraid to do anything. Well, I'm going to go in there and talk to them, but I'm a little worried about what I'm going to say. No, you won't be. Even if you make a mistake, you're humble enough to say, no, guys, that was actually wrong. I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to this. Let me just adjust and repair this. And that perfect love keeps me from any fear. Because even if I don't know what I'm doing, I'm not afraid to say, I'm sorry, I don't understand. Or I'm sorry, let me find out. Or I'm... Because I'm willing to adjust and repair, that is a powerhouse move, and I'm able to move on with strength.
Yes.
I've said this to people all the time. You have to have authority to have responsibility. God will not give you a responsibility without the authority to follow through with this. So when you say, I'm sorry, I repent, I'll fix that, when you take responsibility and say, I'm the one in charge for this, you're saying, I have authority here. You're taking some authority for your life. You'll stop being afraid and worried when you go into a room and you function and act like I have power and I have authority, because I already know I'm perfected in love. I can adjust and repair. That's why I go into rooms, and when I go there, there isn't a person that makes me concerned or worried about what am I going to say. I'm not worried about any of them, what they think. I'm not intimidated by anybody when I walk in the room. Because, not because of how big I am, but because how big the God says, who do you think you are that you be afraid? If I am with you, if I'm your defender, if I'm on your team, who exactly are you again that you will sit there and be afraid? This is God's opinion of you. Who do you think you are that you're afraid when I'm on your team? You're worried about losing the Super Bowl and I'm God on your team. I can touch the end zone. Who are you that you've taken on this fear? And we float that boat with, well, God, I saw. Oh, so it's what you're seeing.
Yeah.
God, I felt like, oh, it's what you feel. God, it seemed like, oh, it's what it seems like now. Is this speculation? God, they told me, oh, so it's because of them. Who exactly are you that you pick up the enemy's flag? I thought you were on my team. I thought you were on my side. Why are you wearing his colors? Who exactly are you? Are you not on my team? That you would play with fear? That you have fear? See, sometimes we get confused because we find ourselves caught in the act of fear, the emotion of fear. We become, you know, that little bit of, oh, what happened? We get confused by this. Well, the Bible says, do not be afraid. Haven't I told you? Be of good courage. Do not be afraid. And we can get confused by that one word. There is a difference of fear coming and you getting that little bit of scared feeling. In other words, getting fear that comes in and you're like, well, I'm afraid of this thing, versus someone who is afraid. In other words, being afraid is different than acting afraid in a moment. When something happens and you get startled, you might act afraid in that moment. But when you are afraid, when you are being afraid, and that is who you are, that is your identity is tied to it. You know what that means is, it is your instinct, it is your preference, it is your common choice to pick fear. Do you hear what I'm saying? When it is your common... People say this, well, I've been pulled a little bit thin, so I'm a fast-tempered person. No. That has now become your habit. When your habit is that, now you can say you're being afraid. Now you can say you've lost courage, because your instinct is to go to fear. Your instinct is to worry. Your instinct is to go into doubt. That's your instinct, not something that happens, not a here and there. That's your instinct. Your instinct is to go negative, not go positive. And you've heard me say this. If you can't start focusing on the positive, guys, you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
If all you want to focus on is all the bad things that have happened to you and all the bad things that might happen to you, you are on the devil's team. You will play the devil's ball game, and you will have the devil's results in your life. And you do not want devil result life. You want God result life. So you can't sit there one moment claiming, well, I'm a Christian, so it's going to all work out good for me in the end somehow, and still play on the devil's t-ball team and play with the devil's jerseys on, because God is going to turn to you one day and say, who exactly are you? And one day he might even say to you, depart from me, you accursed. I never knew you. You weren't even ever on my team. I asked you who you were. You kept playing with that jersey on. I never knew you on my team.
Come on.
Adjust and repair. You want to get rid of fear for once and for all? You want to get rid of doubt and worry and negative? Stop looking at it. Stop giving it your time. Stop giving it a voice. Stop giving it your faith. Stop believing in it. Fight against those things. Fight against the mental thing. Fight against the thought thing. Don't sit there stewing on it.
Come on.
Don't sit there stewing on it. You don't think that happens? It happens. You know, Ava told me maybe 5 years ago, she said, I was mad at you guys. So I was just sitting in my room thinking about, like, I was mad at you and how mad I was at you guys. Like, she was honest enough to say it, but she expressed a thing that all of us have to deal with.
Yeah, 100%.
You're going to sit there and want to think about it.
Yeah.
You're going to think a bad thing, bad thoughts, bad. I just hate that person so much. Oh, they annoy me so. You're going to think the bad so much, you're going to create a bad. You know, you're going to pair up with the bad, you're going to represent the bad, and you're going to end up being bad. And then you'll be found in guilt and sin instead of that thing just being what it was and you moving on. Stop anchoring yourself to the devil. Stop representing his team. And the simplest way is fight against it when the thoughts come. Don't be willing to keep thinking them and to start repenting and repairing. Don't just say, I'm sorry. Be willing to change and pay the price that it may cost you to go in there and fix the things you've done wrong. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray this morning for your covering over this word. Let it go in and make an adjustment. God, if we don't take this to our bedroom at night, to our office in the day, to our functionality throughout the afternoon, then we won't have a hold of what you're trying to give us today. We won't have a hold of freedom from this fear, from this worry, from this doubt, from this torment, from this thing that's polluted our brains and our thoughts. We'll sit there still worried. Jesus, wake up. Constantly going to you to save us from the storm because we ourselves have no faith. God, help us to be better than that. Help us to take hold of this word, to make an adjustment, to receive what you've given us, to take this seed in, to nurture it, to let it grow. And the next time the bad thoughts start, to just fight those thoughts. I will not think it anymore. I'm done. I will not think this way anymore. I'm done. We've got to learn to lay it down. God, help us to be those people. Help us to take this word, to take your plan, to take this action you've given us, and to start functioning in love where we'll lay ourselves down, stop worrying about ourselves, stop believing the worst for ourselves, and start saying, God, surely you will take care of me. Surely no matter what I face, I will be okay. I will be all right. You will see that I am blessed. You will see that I am clean. No matter what human tries to harm me and bad thing comes my way, you will make sure I am okay out at the end of the day. If I'll focus on you, if I'll give you my time, if I'll chase you, God, help us never to fight you, just to fight against the things and the plans of the enemy and stop believing those same stupid mumbly lies of that foolish devil, that dog, the devil, that doesn't deserve our time and we've given him so much of it, and start believing you, the Almighty who'd give his own son for us. Lord Jesus, that you'd give your life for us. Help us believe you, not the stupid dog. In Jesus' name, amen.